I want to thank you for saving us. I want to thank you for your precious book. And we thank you for the indwelling Holy Ghost that you have promised that he would guide us into all truth. Now, Lord, please bless our time in the Word of God. And, Lord, we would like to remember those families that have been violated down there in Nashville. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of hurt there. And so, Lord, we pray for those that are saved that you would comfort them and help them. And, Lord, if there's any lost involved, we pray that you'd use this that they might get saved by the grace of God. Pray for Pastor Matt and Andrew that you would bless them and keep them safe. And Lord, I pray, bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 4. We looked at chapters 1, 2, and 3, and the Lord was trying to show us that we were sinners, lost and without God. We couldn't save ourselves. The law couldn't save us. Keeping the law couldn't save us. So, as we open chapter 4, we are still facing the question, how can sinful man be justified with a holy God? So, for God to justify the sinner, he has to declare the sinner righteous. Are you all with me? So, in order for God to justify the sinner and declare him righteous, what does God have to do? Number one, he has to see the sinner without sin. Ben, look up 1 Peter 3:18. So the first thing in order for God to justify a sinner is the Lord has to see the sinner without sin. That's 1 Peter 3:18. Second, God has to see the sinner as righteous. Josh, look up 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then the third thing is he declares the sinner righteous. Chapter 3 and verse 26 says, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Guys, you and I cannot declare ourselves righteous. It has to be an act of God. Okay, 1 Peter 3:18, Ben. Right. So he sees the sinner without sin because of Christ. Then he sees the sinner as righteous, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I love that, made. He's sinless, but he had to be made. We had no righteousness, so we had to be made. And then he declares the sinner righteous, that's Romans 3, 23. So the chapter 4 starts, "What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found." Now, understand, Abraham is what? He's before the law. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." So, in verse number 1, we see that Abraham, he is saved, justified by faith, before the law. And so the Jews... the logical question, they're saying what? You can't be saved without following the law. So the logical question is, okay, then how was your father Abraham saved? There was no law. And so he's going to answer that. Verse 2, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." In other words, he could say, "I'm just because I keep the law," but he's not just before God. He justifies himself, self-justification, self-works. Guys, works has nothing to do with salvation. Amen. I personally don't believe in any dispensation in the Bible that people are saved by works. Now, there's some Baptists, they teach different dispensations and different ways to be saved and stuff like that. You can look into it if you want to. I understand that not everybody in the time frame is born again like you and I, okay? We are birthed into the family of God. We are the bride of Christ. We're the church. Abraham's not in the church. David's not in the church. Isaiah's not in the church. We're in the church. But whatever dispensation you're in, I believe that faith is involved. I believe the grace of God is involved. And I believe the blood of Jesus Christ is involved. Now, how the Lord deals with you about that, I am not 100% sure every dispensation, but there's nobody walking around in heaven saying, I got here because I lived such a great life, because I kept the law, because I worked so hard for God. Are y'all with me? It's grace. It's nothing but grace. Now, really, I want to jump ahead to verse 16 just for a minute. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Once again, the theme of Romans is the righteousness of God and justification by faith. And so I have 6 points here. It said there in verse number 16 that it is of faith that it might be by grace. So justification by faith, the source is God's grace. That would be chapter 3, verse 24. That says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the source of justification is God's grace. The basis of justification by faith is redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. The agent of justification by faith is the Holy Ghost. Listen, except the Father draw you, you cannot be saved. If there is no conviction of sin, there's not going to be any salvation. If there's not any illumination from the Holy Ghost to the truth of God, there's not going to be any salvation. Then there's the price of justification. That's the blood of Jesus. There's the channel then, and that's faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is our part. And we are so weak that the Lord has to work that faith in our hearts by the word of God, and we believe him. So then I go back to chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Guys, opinions and teachings of men matter nothing. The book says, for what saith what? The scripture. Now listen, I want to tell y'all something. You need to get this down in your hearts at a young age. Make that book your final authority in faith and practice. When you read that book in your devotions, just ask the Lord, illuminate my heart and mind. Show me from that book. When men, listen, all of us have heard men preach something and it doesn't ring true. That's because it goes against the scripture. The Holy Ghost doesn't bear witness with it. When a man of God is teaching or preaching that book and he's teaching the truth, the Holy Ghost bears witness. If he's not teaching the truth, the Holy Ghost doesn't bear witness with it. It's vital, vital, vital. So he says in verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham, that takes place in Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. And then in Genesis chapter 22, anybody remember what happened in Genesis 22? Joy? Yes. So he believes God in 15 and is justified by faith. Then in chapter 22, his works show he's justified. Are you with me? And that's sometime later. Now, could you say that his faith was tested in Genesis 22? You certainly could, amen? So what's going to happen to you and I? We're going to have our faith tested. The scripture for that is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. Pete, would you read that for me?
That the trial
According to the scripture, every one of us that's saved, our faith is going to be tested through our lifetime. And what we hope is that it honors the Lord. Ours is going to be fitting. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. At verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So there's really two sides of justification. There's justification before God. You put your faith in God, he puts Christ's righteousness to your account. He sees you as his son. But there's another side to justification. That's before man. We should live a life that evidences something took place inside of us. So that is outward. And so what does he say? Let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Guys, I was up into my eyeballs in sin, and all my buddies were in the same thing. The first thing they noticed about me was that I wasn't doing the things that I had done with them for years. Are you with me? That was an outward justification. So they would ask me, what happened to you? There's a good opportunity. If you continue on in a sinful life, where is the evidence that something took place in your heart? It's just not there, is it? Okay, back to chapter 4. Verse number 4. Now, the second, that was Abraham, an Old Testament saint. Now, the Lord, the Bible's going to use David as another illustration of justification by faith. Where did I leave off? I left off there. Let me pick up verse 4. Now, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So back up in verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward reckoned. Okay, guys, If you earn salvation, then God's indebted to you to save you. Well, he's in debt to no man. Are you with me? Okay, at the end of the week, you put 40 hours in, right? Your employer is indebted to you to pay you. So if you go, I kept the law, I lived a good life, Lord, you owe me. No, it's not even logical, okay? And so, no, you can't do that. Hey, and besides, your wages really for your life are what? Death. The wages of sin is death. So, whatever. Verse 5, I love verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the, what? That's the only kind God saves. God doesn't save good people. Amen. He only saves sinners and the ungodly. Hallelujah. And buddy, when you get under conviction of the Holy Ghost, you know you're the worst sinner that's ever walked the face. You never think, oh, I know somebody that's worse than me. No, you always say, I'm the worst one. I need to get saved. Ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Again, justification by faith. Verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. This is a blessing. Let's look at a couple verses. Look at Isaiah 54 and 2 Corinthians 5. Isaiah 54 and 2 Corinthians 5. Isaiah 54, look with me at verse 17. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is what? It's of me. That's Old Testament. They had righteousness because of God imputing his righteousness to them. That's Old Testament. And lots of folks say, well, you know, people got saved in the Old Testament by keeping the law. That is not true. Amen. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Great verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So David, Old Testament saint, under the law, is lauding that God puts his righteousness to a sinner and sees him as righteous, not that he has to earn it by keeping the law. Are y'all with me? Okay, and it's without works. Isaiah was only about 700 years before the church, so it's just what the Bible teaches. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. This is Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, hallelujah. What he does is impute his righteousness to us when we get saved. Amen. And then verse number 9, verses 9 through 5, we're going to see Paul is going to give further evidence of justification by faith and again use Abraham. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision. Y'all understand when he talks about the circumcision, he's talking about what? The Jews. Very good. And then the uncircumcision would be the Gentiles, okay? So cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. You talk about a proud religious crowd. It was the Jews. Listen to me, even when the Jews started getting saved in the early church time, they didn't think Gentiles could get saved. They thought only the Jews could get saved because they were God's chosen people. You talk about a proud group, guys. God hates pride. He hates it. And so faith is reckoned here. See in verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon circumcision only or upon uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned, not works, faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Tina, look up Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It's good for you to have the ammo of the books, the scriptures that teach you, you can't get justified by works. And Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7 is excellent ammunition. Go ahead, Tina. Amen. Y'all with me? You can't get saved by works. Mother Teresa, you know, people say, what about my, she died and went to hell if she didn't repent and trust Christ. The Pope. It doesn't matter. Listen, my grandmother was as good a woman as I have ever met in my life. She was a very religious woman, okay? I showed her the scriptures from the Roman Catholic Bible, and to the best of my knowledge, that woman never trusted Christ as her Savior. She died and went to hell. You don't get saved by works in any dispensation. It's a tragedy, but it's a fact. The sinner, when the sinner says, I'm a sinner, he establishes the law. When the saint, okay, counts on the Lord to help him live after he's saved, he establishes the law. Our Savior establishes the law because he paid the debt that the law demanded for a sinner to get saved. We don't throw the law out. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was vital to bring us to Christ. Verse 10, how was it then reckoned when he was in uncircumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 is when the Lord said, you see the stars, and the Bible says he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. That was before he was circumcised. He wasn't circumcised until Genesis chapter 17. So once again, the Jews are always looking for a sign. They're always looking to do something to earn them that righteousness. That's not true. That's not what gets you into heaven. Verse 11. And he received the sign. Signs are for the Jews. Gentiles don't get signs. And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. Okay, now what he's showing is that Abraham isn't just father of the Jews. He's also spiritually father of everybody that is saved. Here's your verses. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, 14 through 18, and verse 29. Let's go over there. We'll read a few of them. Galatians chapter 3. We sing the song, don't we, with the kids? Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Well, there is Bible truth to that song. Genesis 3, verses 6 through 9. Caleb, how about you reading them for me? 6 through 9. Did I say Genesis? The only thing I had right about that was the G. Galatians. Oh, getting old is wonderful. Galatians. Sorry, guys. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, man. Do y'all see that? Do you see what I'm trying to show you? He's the father of us all if we trust Christ because he was saved by faith. Verse 10.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God.
Joy, read 12 through 14 for me, would you please? Down to verse 18. Brian, read that for me. Verse 18.
For if the inheritance be of the law is not more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise.
And then verse 29 says this, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So back in chapter 4, that he might be the father of all them. Listen, this was a big thing in the early church. Go back to the book of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15, Brother Daniel, read the first couple verses for me if you would. Every generation, I mean, some people preach today Church of Christ, that you're not saved if you don't what? Get baptized. Yeah. So in their hymn books, they don't have Jesus saves, they have water saves. We have heard the joyful sound, water saves, water saves. Well, that's what they believe. Okay. So and another good reference for Acts 15 would be Genesis chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let's see. Derek, look that up for me, would you? Genesis 2, verses 3 and 4. Daniel, look up Genesis 5. I mean, Galatians. Did I say Genesis? Golly. Galatians. Galatians 2, verses 3 and 4. And you look up 5 in Galatians, first six verses. Galatians 2, 3 and 4. See that? The Lord used Paul to set the New Testament doctrine in his epistles, and he repeats himself several times. Chapter 5. Okay, let's go back to chapter 4, verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he, Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, guys, as I have read and studied my Bible, I believe the Lord has given the world, what we know the world, I've referred to it as the kingdom of heaven, to three men. I believe he gave it to Adam. Well, Adam lost it. I believe he gave it to Noah, and I believe here he gives it to Abraham. You have to go back and check Abraham in Genesis 12, Genesis 17. Okay, the promise that he would be the father of many nations. So, and it wasn't through the law that he got that. It was through the righteousness of faith. And then verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Kevin, look up Galatians 5:4 real quick for me, would you? For if they which are of the law be heirs, and we're heirs through faith, he says faith is made void and the promise is of none effect. The law cannot disannul the promise of God. Genesis 3:17. Galatians 5:4, Kev. That's what it says. Yeah. In other words, you can bump right up against grace and not get saved. Buddy, that's not a good place to be. Verse number 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Judgment comes by the law, not righteousness and justification. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Great verse on justification. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, now it's getting into Abraham again, father of us all. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, we have I got several things that I want to try to give you. You understand there's several kinds of faith listed in the Bible, okay? In Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, there's the common faith. There's human faith. Could you give me an example of human faith? It has nothing to do with Christ, has nothing to do with faith, with God. Josh? That's not what I'm looking. I'm looking. Okay, if I walk over here, I'm going to hit this switch, and I believe that it's going to turn the light off, because I believe in electricity. Okay, that's just human faith. Y'all with me? We drive down the road. Don't we have faith that most people are going to stay on their side of the road? I was coming home the other day. I was on a back road, and a car is coming to me, and it's coming fast. It's just a little two-lane back road by my house, and I can see that they're drifting in my lane. I mean, drifting quickly and coming fast, and they're not paying any attention. I'm telling you, I turned that little Highlander into a four-wheeler real quick, and I am gone up. I had to get off the road, and I'm my hands on the horn, and at the last minute, okay, when I'm climbing the hill, he jerks over. And see, I was not having faith that he was going to stay on his side, so I went up the hill. Hey, I want to tell you all something. Whenever you drive, drive defensively. Amen. Expect. Don't go through a red light without looking both ways. I mean a green light. I didn't mean that. I meant green light. Because some other idiot could run that light. That's crazy. So there's human, there's divine faith. That's what Abraham had. Mental faith. That's a head knowledge. That's according to James chapter 2, verse 19. Then Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 talks about a little faith. And I'm glad for a little faith, because that's what I had when I got saved. And then in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, there's great faith. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, it talks about historical faith. And here's another one. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he talks about the unfeigned faith of Timothy's mom and grandmother. Unfeigned means it's not fake, it's not phony, it's genuine. And then according to James 2:26 and Hebrews 10:19, there's active faith. That's producing works for the Lord. And then there's wavering faith, doubting faith in James chapter 1 and verse 6. So there's a good study for you. There's messages there, guys, on the different kinds of faith there in the Bible. We talk about the law. You study that book, chapter 7, verse 16 in Romans says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The law reveals the holiness of God. The law reveals God's man's sinfulness. The law reveals God's judgment. And it is the schoolmaster that brings us to Jesus Christ. Don't minimize the law. We're not under the ceremonial law. When I say ceremonial law, I'm talking about the laws of this, the sacrifices and the offerings and the feast days and those things. Listen, anything else you read in that law, you think about it. It's applicable to us. And lots of people that want to live a worldly life, they say, well, we're not under the law. We are not under the curse of the law because Jesus Christ took that curse from us. Anyway, that's where we're at. Okay, I'm in chapter 4. Make sure I'm giving you everything I wrote down. Verse number 20, he staggered not. I wrote this little note. I want you to think about this, okay? The Lord has a way of showing the best side of Old Testament saints when they're mentioned in the Bible. Okay, here he's bragging on Abraham's faith, right? Well, you know what you could do? You could go back, and Abraham is about 85 years old when God first tells him he's going to have a baby. Well, if God tells you you're going to do something, we as human beings, what do we expect? It's going to happen right away. Oh, God's not on our timetable. So now you're 15 years later, and the Lord shows up to Abraham. He's 100. Sarah is now 90. Now, I don't know how it was back in Abraham's day, but there's not a whole lot of 190-year-old people having babies. You know what Abraham does when he tells him when he's 100? He says, oh, that Ishmael might be blessed. His faith is wavering just a little bit. But God, he puts a good light on. That's what he does for us. Amen. You know what I mean? He doesn't kick us when we're down. He doesn't point us out. There's others. Noah. The Bible's in the New Testament. Noah is what? He's a preacher of righteousness. New Testament doesn't mention he got drunk, but he did. You have Elijah. I mean, a righteous man. James talks about him. And yet, at one time in his life, he's running from a woman and wallowing in self-pity. Look at me. God gives us both sides of individuals so that we can identify with them. Nobody's perfect in that book. Everybody had an old nature. Everybody had weaknesses. They had frailties. The sin which does so easily. We're not the only ones that have that. Everybody has had that. But by the grace of God, we have times in our lives that we're full of the Holy Ghost. The Lord uses us. And that's what God is going to magnify for his honor and for his glory. Moses, he murdered a man. And yet God used him. He's probably one of the greatest leaders. And Sarah. Sarah gets her name in Hebrews chapter 11. And yet when she heard the Lord promise Abraham a baby, she what? She laughed at God. That's what I'm trying to say. The Lord has a way of showing the good side of his saints because he loves us. Okay, so verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised God, he was able to also to what? Hey, listen, what God starts, he wants to finish. He will finish. Listen to me. You're listening to an old man. I've had a good start. I've had a good middle. I have not finished yet. I want to finish. I want to tell you something, guys. It does not get easier. This world is demonic. This flesh is wicked. And our adversary wants to take us down. Every one of you in this room, I don't care how old or young you are, every one of you have established a testimony and people look up to you. I'm talking about you teenagers, little kids look up to you. You young adults, the teenagers see what you have done. Everybody has people. The devil takes you out. He doesn't just take you. It'll affect other people that have looked at you and respected you, and that will hinder them. So he doesn't give up. Until we cross over to the other side, buddy, this race is not finished. We can't lay our sword down. We can't stop fighting the good fight of faith. We got to keep looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to stay in that book right there. I'm telling you, that's a good book right there. Okay, verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Notice how many times God uses that word in that chapter. That's a blessed word. Verse 24, but for us, same way as it was with Abraham, for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So in chapter number 4, we go from 3 chapters of being a sinner and we get to be a saint by faith in Jesus Christ, and he justifies us. Are y'all with me? Okay. I have, I tell you what, it's quarter of. Let's take a little break, and I will pick up with, in Adam, we'll see that we're sinners, we face death, and then in Christ, we're righteous and like that. And we'll finish up right there in chapter 4 and get into chapter 5.